chapter 24, Luke's Gospel chapter 24. This morning we want to think about the subject of deacons. Deacons in the church, we've been studying and thinking and recognizing an elder in our fellowship last week. And this morning and next week, we want to think about deacons and recognizing and beginning to see deacons established here at Land O'Lakes Bible Chapel. But let's begin by looking at chapter 24. Before I get into that, let me mention this as an announcement. Last week it was mentioned to me, it might be a good idea, last Sunday, good idea to have a little change in the parking lot. And one of the ideas we had, I think it was a good idea, I talked to Brother Dave Satole about it, and I mentioned it last Wednesday night, and I think we all feel like it's a good idea, and that is this first part right by the beginning of the driveway. We want to have that as a loading area for those who are older. Joy kind of comes into that category. She was saying how old she was, and when she drops off her mother, of course. And whoever would want to use that area, you feel like you want to use it, someone, if you're elderly and you want to use that area, feel free to do that. No one will park in that first area there. And then that first parking lot, right by the bushes here, we're going to have that first slot. We're going to have that also for anyone who feels they want to park there. And so have a closer accessibility. So we want to do that. And there's a couple in our midst and with walkers. And so we want to kind of make things a little easier for them. So let's try to do that, especially when we leave the chapel on Sunday morning. A lot of times they have to walk into the parking lot. So we're trying to keep this area here as a loading area. And so just keep that in mind. And that would be a great thing. I think that would be wonderful. We have this handicapped parking spot, of course, but we want to add that extra one. So keep that in mind. I think that will be a wonderful thing. Well, let's take our Bibles. We're in Luke chapter 24, and let's look together at verse 19. Verse 19. It says, it came to pass, verse 19, and he said to them, what things, after they had spoken about these two men on the road to Emmaus, and spoken about the death of the Lord Jesus and all the things that had taken place in Jerusalem. And the Lord says, what things? And then notice what verse 19 says. And they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And turn with me also over to Colossians. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17. Colossians 3 and verse 17. Here the Apostle Paul is writing, exhorting about practical living, about walking worthy unto the Lord. And he says this to all of us, all believers. He says, whatever you do, notice these two words again, in word and deed. Do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. You know, it's interesting. We have these two words used many, many times in Scripture. It's used about the Lord Jesus. It's used about Moses. It's used about all believers that we should be active in word and deed. And as we think about deacons this morning, and we think about elders, we think about different responsibilities in the assembly or in the local church, being mighty in the word, being those who minister the word of God, and elders are those who do part of that. Others minister the word as well, but that's part of the service we have as believers. Ministering, and the Lord Jesus and Moses and others were mighty in the word. And it's a wonderful thing to be able to do that, have men minister from the pulpit who are mighty in the word. We need so. We need very much those who are mighty indeed, mighty in service, mighty in giving themselves to meet the needs of the believers in the local assembly. And so we want to look at that this morning. Those who can serve, and deacons are those who are a recognized body of believers that are those who have a special responsibility of serving in the local assembly, meeting certain kinds of needs. And we want to think about that this morning. We all should be active in word and deed, but especially those deacons, and they have a special responsibility. So we want to look at that this morning. But I want to begin by seeing if you know who that is. I don't even know who that person is. Now, you have to watch basketball on television to know who that is. Now, Philip has his hand up in the back. But just hold on, Philip. Just hold on. Who is that? Now, I'm going to give you a real hint here. It's a real hint. That's not his first name, by the way. Does Philip still know who he is? Okay. Now, who was the first person? Chris Paul. Now, who was that second person with the mustache and the sweater? Cliff Paul. Now, on television, there's this commercial during basketball games. It's a State Farm commercial. And it talks about there were two brothers separated at birth. It's just a commercial. It's not true. One was Chris Paul, famous basketball player. But then there was another man. It was a secret brother, a brother separated at birth, never met before. And that is this man here, and it's the same person. His name is Chris Paul. And what does he do? He is a State Farm insurance agent. Now, Cliff Paul's known for what, Philip? What's Chris Paul known for? He leads the NBA, I think he leads the NBA in assists, which passing the ball so somebody else can score. And they say in the commercial, Chris Cliff Paul is also, he also majors in helping other people. And so they have them together. And as they end the commercial, they always say this, the power of an assist. And I thought that'd be a good way to start this morning, even though you don't know who that person is. You know, isn't it a very important thing? There's power in service, isn't there? I thought that was a great line for Christians. There's power in service. To be able to say someone is mighty indeed, Lord Jesus. Now, it may have been referring to the Lord Jesus to his miracles and his mighty supernatural acts during his ministry, during his earthly ministry. But there is something very special. It tells us in Colossians that we should be active, we should be serving indeed, in word and in deed. And that's something I want to look with you at this morning. I think that's something very needed. You know, if a church, if a local church had 50%, had 5 or 6 or 7 or 10 men and women who were able to teach and to lead studies and to minister in a powerful, wonderful, beautiful way, but we didn't have those who served. We didn't have those who met practical needs. We didn't have those who met material needs. We didn't have those that served and labored and gave to brothers and sisters in that local church. And we bring meals to Reba and we help in many different ways. We didn't have that. We would be a church that would be lacking greatly. And so we want to think this morning a little bit about ministers of the word indeed, but especially this morning, ministers of those who give themselves. In Luke 24:19, Jesus the Nazarene, a prophet, mighty in word and in deed in the sight of God and all the people. Moses in Acts 7:22, Moses was educated in all the learning of the Egyptians. He was a man mighty in word and in deed. Turn with me to Acts 18, verse 24. I have it up on the PowerPoint, but I want us to turn to it too. I want to look at a number of people in Scripture who spoke about them as being mighty in word. And Apollos is one of those people. It'd be a good study if you'd like to go back home and get out your concordance and look up this phrase, mighty in word, or mighty in the Scriptures, and then mighty indeed. It is interesting, all the different people that you begin to meet who are in this way. It says in chapter 18 of the book of Acts, we meet a certain Jew named Apollos. He was born in Alexandria. He was an eloquent man, and he was mighty in the Scriptures. What a picture we have. He was an eloquent, powerful, mighty preacher and teacher of the Word of God. goes on to say he was fervent in the Spirit, and he taught diligently the things of the Lord. What a great picture of someone who is mighty in the Word. And we need those kind of people. But there's another kind of person. Someone else. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Let's turn there. 2 Timothy chapter 1. We don't come across this man too often. In fact, probably a lot of us would say, we're not even sure how to pronounce his name, Onesiphorus. But look what it says about this man. There are not many verses in Scripture about Onesiphorus, but we do have this passage. I want to look at it with you together. Onesiphorus. Here the Apostle Paul is speaking about when he was in prison and how certain ones came to visit him. And he says of this brother, verse 17, we'll begin at verse 16. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me. A beautiful thing. That is something that those who labor indeed, labor in service, labor in giving themselves and meeting needs of those who are in the local church, and even meeting needs of those who may be unsaved, around about us and showing the love of Christ and the ministry of Christ. The Lord give mercy to the house of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me. He was not ashamed of my chain while I was at Rome. Verse 17, but when he was at Rome, he sought me out diligently, very diligently, and he found me. It wasn't easy to do. He had to find where Paul was in prison. He searched throughout Rome, and he came. Verse 18, and the Lord grant unto him that he might find mercy of the Lord in that day. For in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, and thou knowest very well. What a beautiful statement. Three verses of Scripture about a man who wasn't mighty in the Scriptures. He wasn't an elder, wasn't an apostle, wasn't a missionary. He was a man who served, a man who gave himself to the needs of someone else. And sometimes we think in our minds, this is an inferior gift. This is a lesser gift. This is something not as important, or that I am not important, or my work is not important if I'm someone who gives of myself in service. I think these three verses dispel that notion very, very well. May the Lord grant him mercy. And in how many things he ministered unto me, he often refreshed me. How he met spiritual needs in the life of the Apostle Paul. So service is a very important thing. And to have that special role and that special work of someone who is a deacon, someone whose work is serving and ministering in the local church, is a very special and very important thing. Let's turn to a couple of passages just to refresh ourselves, to get an idea. What is a deacon? Let's first of all turn to 1 Timothy chapter 3. We want to read a few verses about qualifications. Next week we want to look at deacons a little further, especially the qualifications of deacons. But look at verse 8 with me, 1 Timothy chapter 3. In like manner must deacons, this is one of the few references, there's three major references of deacons in the New Testament. One is in Acts 6, 1 through 6. One in 1 Timothy 3, chapter 3, 8, 9, and 10. And 11 and 12. And also 13, which we're going to read. And then Philippians 1, 1. But here in verse 8, in like manner, deacons must be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, holding the mystery of faith in pure conscience. And let these first be proved or tested. Let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. Even so must their wives be grave and not slanderers, and sober-minded and faithful in all things. Let deacons be the husband of one wife, ruling their children and their own houses well. For they have used the office of a deacon well, purchased to themselves a good standing and great boldness in the faith which is in Jesus Christ. Turn with me over also to Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6, we have the word deacons is not used in this chapter, but I think we have a beautiful picture of deacons in action, men of service in action, a group of people who are appointed who are living out that role of service in the local church and meeting a need in such a way that the word of God is prominent. And we see near the end of this passage in verse 7 what happens after deacons do their work and elders or the apostles do their work of preaching the word of God and to giving themselves to prayer. It says in verse 7, "And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of priests were obedient to the faith." What a great picture. When those who the Lord has raised up to minister in the word of God, when they are doing what they should do, and those who the Lord has raised up to minister in practical ways, and when they do what they should do, when they meet that need and solve that issue that we have here in this chapter 6, the word of God is blessed, the church is blessed, and the word of God goes forth, and those who are outside of the church, they come to the Lord, the word of God is increased, the number of disciples, others get saved, and so we see the Lord work in that way. Look at verse 1 with me. There's a problem. There's a problem in Jerusalem. There were a good number of believers. We're not sure how many believers in chapter 6 were in Jerusalem at this time, but it was a good number. The day of Pentecost, 3,000 that are saved, and word of God is multiplied. When you add men, women, and children, there may have been 8 or 9 or 10,000 believers in Jerusalem. But also at the same time, there were widows. Those without husbands in those days, a widow or a woman was usually dependent on a man's income, a husband's income, and there were little ways for them to have needs met, financial needs met, material needs met, and so they were dependent upon the church. They couldn't go to the synagogue, they couldn't go to the Jewish authorities, they had left that, they'd become believers, so they had to go to the church. Look at verse 1, "And in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were being neglected in the daily ministration." Here we have a number of widows. There may have been 300, 200, or 300 widows who were neglected. It says in verse 2, "The 12, the apostles, called the multitude of disciples, and they said, 'It is not fitting that we should leave the word and serve tables. Look among yourselves for 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, who we may appoint over this service.'" So here we have the introduction of deacons in the New Testament. But let's look for a second at the difference between deacons and elders and those who labor the word of God. Deacons serve the church. Elders lead the church. Deacons serve in a temporal sphere and a practical sphere, a material area of service. The elders serve in a spiritual sphere. The deacons serve in the local church, and the elders serve in the local church. It says in this chapter, chapter 6, that deacons are appointed by the church. Let's look at that again for a minute. Look what it says in verse 3 of Acts chapter 6. "Wherefore, brethren," brothers, the whole congregation, "look among you." So the apostles are saying to the whole congregation, "Look among yourselves. Look among yourselves for 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Spirit, full of wisdom, who we may appoint over this work." So the local church was to do the appointing, and then it would be confirmed by the elders. The elders in Acts 20:28. It says, "Take heed to yourselves and all the flock of God, over which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers." So we begin to see a difference in the way they are called. And then preachers, preach and teach, the spiritual sphere, but it's to the universal church, and they are called by God. What are some of the things? What are some of the things that deacons are to do? What would be what we would call deacon's ministry? What are some of the things that they did in chapter 6? What are some of the things you would do today? And so let's look at that for a minute. One of the first things we see, serving. They serve tables. Now I want to just stop for a minute. As we go back to Acts 6, we say to ourselves, serving tables. Now that's a reading I have from the King James Bible. Now it doesn't mean that all the widows got along on these big long tables, 200 or 300 of them, and they needed a meal. They needed a meal that day, so these seven men began to serve a meal to them at tables. Now that would be, some people would read this, they would have that idea. But a table, back in the days of the New Testament, remember back in John 2, the Lord Jesus went into the temple where there were money changers, and the Lord Jesus made a whip of cords, and he chased out the money changers. And if you remember, where were those money changers? They were at tables. A set of tables, and tables were much like banks or areas where money would be distributed or exchanged. And so when we look at this passage and we think of serving tables, it meant it was a place where material goods and possibly money that came in the collection or material goods that came into the collection were distributed to those widows. And so it wasn't so much serving, but it was an ongoing important task of providing material assistance and maybe financial assistance to those widows. And I think that's an important thing today. Those who are in need today in the local church, we need to provide for them. Person who's lost a job, or a widow who is in need, or someone who is in need in whatever situation they find themselves, I think it's a great opportunity, an important opportunity for the assembly, for the church to meet a need. And that's what we should be about, I think, meeting the needs, the spiritual needs and the material needs of those who know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. We just don't put our money in the bank and say, hey, we have a big bank account, isn't that wonderful? But we should be using that money to meet the needs of others. Serving is an important thing. Meeting material needs, and we find that these seven men did that. Administration, what kind of job it must have been. Can you imagine? 200 to 300 widows in need, Jews, Hebrew, and Greeks coming together and in a practical way administering and providing for their needs on a daily basis. It must have been a tremendous, it needed those who had the gift of administration. And can you imagine 200 or 300 people and a church of 10,000 people? And so administration was a very important thing. Meeting practical needs, caring for the flock. Those are things I think that elders do, deacons do. Serving, meeting material needs, administration, meeting practical needs, caring for the needs of the flock, being aware of the needs of the flock. Sometimes a certain kind of person, a person with a heart for people, for hurting people, needy people, they have a special eye for someone who is struggling. There's someone who is alone sometimes in a church setting, and they have a special eye for someone who is in need and hurting and might not come up to someone and say, I have this need or I have that material need or difficulty. But deacons sometimes have that eye. Sometimes elders should have that as well. But I think deacons have a special burden for those who are hurting and those who are needy. And so they're caring for the flock, meeting the needs of the flock. What did elders do? What is the difference between what elders do and what deacons do? I want to go through, we've done this before, go through some of the duties of elders, or some of their responsibilities, and then look some more practically of what some of the deacons' responsibilities are. Well, elders as leaders should be examples of the church to the church for all to follow. Elders should devote themselves, first of all, to prayer and the ministry of the word. We see that in Acts chapter 6. This is a very important, crucial aspect. What I like so much about chapter 6, these deacons made it possible for the word of God to stay central. the Word of God to go out day by day, week by week, so men and women could hear the Word of God. Those who are unsaved could be saved. And in verse 6, the number of disciples increased because each group were doing their responsibility, their particular area of service, they were involved in that. And I believe the same thing happens in a local church. When needs are being met in the proper way, those who minister the Word of God can give themselves even more to that work, and those who have the responsibilities and the burden to meet practical needs can do that as well. There are many practical needs that need to be met in a local church, and so that kind of ministry is so very important. Elders should lead in the church, teaching and preaching. Elders should disciple and train young men and others who could be future leaders in the church. Elders should be willing to shepherd and to oversee the local congregation. Elders should be alert to the threat of false doctrine and to guard the church from false teachers. Elders are to pray for the sick and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. Elders are to work hard and help the needy and to be generous like the Lord Jesus. And elders should determine church positions and church policy. But let's look some more. I want to look some more at what deacons do. What do deacons do practically? What does the Word of God say? They assist the elders. I think the Word of God teaches that the elders lead. We just looked at that. Elders lead in the local church. But deacons have a real ministry. I think they should meet with the elders. There should be communication with them. And they assist the elders in the work of leading and overseeing and meeting needs within the local church. I think they care for the administration. They care for the grounds and the administration of the building and the grounds. It's a big job. You have 5 acres here, and it's a big job to maintain it all. We have a service that comes and cuts all the grass. 2.5 acres are being cut every week, and we're happy for that. There was a time that Kirk and I came with our riding lawnmowers, and we used to cut all this grass. It would take us a long time, and it was tiring and exhausting, and it was a little dangerous cutting the size of these retention areas. But maintaining the grass, maintaining the grounds, maintaining the back part, the well, every part of this facility, it's a large job, and I'm thankful for others who do so many different things in the care and administration of the grounds. But that's something that deacons, I think, would be a great ministry and a great help in overseeing, caring, and the administration of the building and grounds. Assist in the administration of finances. This is something that we see, even though they may not have written checks, we don't know what happened exactly, but they were, these deacons in chapter 6, they were involved in the administration, in the assisting, and taking care of that aspect of financial needs of those widows, and maybe other aspects of financial needs that were in that local church. And I think that's something, a very important thing. I don't think the elders oversee that. Elders have a role in the finances, but I think the practical outworking of paying the bills and making sure everything is in order financially is a very important role that the elders would oversee in doing that. Caring for the flock, the practical needs of the flock, I think is a tremendous thing. Elders should have an eye to the practical needs of those in the local church. But I think that deacons have a tremendous role in that. They have a heart for those kinds of things. And they can bring those needs to the elders, or they can meet those needs themselves as they see, as those kinds of needs arise in the local church. But let's look a little more closely, meaning practical needs. Let's look a little more closely at some of the things that today that I think deacons can do in this local church. I should say some things that I like to see deacons do in this local assembly. Oversee the organization and the implementation of conferences and dinners and vacation Bible school and preparation of the Lord's Supper, and the list could probably go on, and other things, but oversee the organization, the planning, and the implementation. There's a lot of work that goes on, and we work together in that. But I like to see elders, as the Lord raises them up and as we begin to recognize this body of people to be able to do some of these things. oversee the preparation of chapel materials, our website. We do have a website, by the way. And actually, about every day, about 20 to 25 people go on that website. There's a little counter on the bottom. People do look at it. But our website, that will be up to date. It's not always up to date. Those who can oversee our website, the recording of messages, the bulletins, the address book, giving out, making copies of messages, all those kinds of things, to oversee that kind of work. We have people doing that now, but I think deacons can be a great help in overseeing these kinds of things, overseeing the maintenance of the church and the building and the property, overseeing the care of legal documents. This is probably the biggest pain that I have, is legal documents, a lot of legal documents that we have to take care of. We just took care of one today, and there is ongoing more legal documents that we have to, bills we have to pay and make sure we're up to date in those things, the charter, the bylaws, tax requirements, annual filings, and those kinds of things. Deacons, taking over that kind of responsibility and being a help in that area. Let's go back to Acts chapter 6. How did these problems get resolved? Acts chapter 6. I think Acts chapter 6 is a beautiful chapter in solving problems and how the early church began to function. And we saw before in Acts chapter 6 a problem. The Grecian widows were being neglected. They were being looked over. And they began to murmur. They began to say, why do the Hebrew women get more material assistance than we get? And so I think it's a beautiful thing that happens. There was murmuring. I don't know exactly if these Grecians, if these Hellenized believers, those who have a Greek background, whether they came to the apostles and told them the problem, or there was just murmuring going on. But it says here they began to murmur. And it's interesting to me that it may have been a number of people, it may have been the apostles, but they were sensitive. They knew about the issue. They knew about it. It may not have come to them directly, but they were sensitive and they were aware and they knew about the problem. And they addressed the problem quickly. In verse 1, we find the problem. In verse 2, we find the apostles jumping into action and taking care of the problem. The problem is in verse 1, and in verse 2, the apostles call the multitude of disciples. And it says, not fitting that we should leave the word and be engaged in this kind of work of providing the distribution of financial need. We need to solve the problem. Now, it's interesting, one of the things that happened, they didn't point the finger. They acknowledged there was a problem. They didn't point the finger. They didn't say, this is the person who was at fault. He didn't criticize the Grecian widows. He didn't criticize the others in the local church. But they solved the problem. I think there's great wisdom in that. There are a lot of problems that arise. And I think an important thing is to know about them, know as much as we can about them, and solve them as quickly as we can. In love and in care and in mercy and in grace, reach out and solve problems. I think it was Conrad said that when we point the finger, and this has been said many times, there's three fingers pointing back at ourselves. I think there's great wisdom in solving the problem as quickly as possible. Knowing about the problem, being sensitive to the problem. And then when we get to this chapter, we see something else. We see that the apostles involved as many people as possible in solving this problem. Sometimes it's a big problem and you need a lot of people coming together to meet meet that need. Sometimes there's smaller issues. But here, this was a very large issue, something that had to be taken care of. And so, in verse 3, the apostles come to the church and says, look among you for seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, who we may appoint over this. We should give ourselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the word. The word, I saw a bumper sticker one time, and I think it's just so fitting for this. It said that the main thing remains the main thing. I like that. Sometimes there's something that is very important. And sometimes we begin to get so bogged down in other things, the main thing isn't the main thing anymore. The main thing was that the Word of God and prayer should continue on in a central, strong way. And that was being diverted. That was being set aside to a certain degree, and the apostles saw that, and they said, this is not right. And the multitude chose seven men. Look at verse 5. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Decantor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Alexandria. They picked seven Greek men. And I like what it says. Verse 5. And this saying pleased the whole multitude. And they set these men before the apostles. They laid hands on them. They prayed for them. And I think the whole congregation said, this is a good thing. This is a good thing. And the problem was solved. The problem was diverted. And I think it's such an important thing to have, though, that kind of ministry in the local church, practical ministry. Look at some of the characteristics of the deacons. Full of honest report, full of the Holy Spirit, full of wisdom. And later on, we see two of these men, the Lord raises up and uses even a greater extent, Stephen and Philip. Stephen becomes a preacher in chapter 7, and Philip, an evangelist, whom in chapter 8 goes into a city of Samaria, and the entire city, as the word of God is preached, is saved. And it says so beautifully, and there was much joy in that city. I want to close this morning with looking at one more thing, humility. One more lesson, I think, from this chapter. You know, one lesson we learn, I think there's no job too small. Stephen, we find out, was a tremendous preacher. Philip, we find out, was a tremendous godly preacher who eventually would be known as Philip the Evangelist, and Stephen, a mighty preacher, will have a whole chapter 7 of his sermon. Very few times do you have the entire words of a sermon of one of the preachers, two great mighty men. And yet this job wasn't too small for them. To give financial need and to give material assistance to widows wasn't too little. And I think that's a great thing to remember. There's no job too small. And so I trust the Lord will raise up deacons who can do this kind of work, assisting, helping, meeting needs, practical material needs. No job is too small. And to be faithful in little things. I want to look at two passages as we close. One of them is Luke 19 and 17. We don't have to turn to it. If you want to, you can. But I like what it says here in this passage. I'm reading from the King James, and no other translations translate a little bit differently. But the Lord says, well done, my good and faithful servant. Because you have been faithful in a very little. I like that last phrase. Because you have been faithful in a very little. Here in this passage, I think possibly the idea may be a small sphere of service. A small sphere of service. Helping those who need financial assistance and be able to meet that. In the eyes of some, that may be seen as a very small sphere of service. Taking care of the grounds at a church, taking care of a website, taking care of legal documents may seem to some as a very small sphere of service. But the Lord says, well done, my good and faithful servant, because you have been faithful in a very little. We need people who are faithful in little things, and we need people who are faithful in big things. But for someone to say, well, it's too little for me, I don't want to do that. We need those who are going to be faithful in little. But there's another verse, and that is in Luke 16:10. It says something a little bit different. It says, he that is faithful in that which is least, in that which is lowly. I think one speaks of a small sphere. I think the other speaks of a lowly kind of service. A lowly kind of service. And the Lord says, He that is faithful in that which is least. And we need those kind of people, don't we? The church, we can't do without you. We can't do without those who labor in every kind of service within the local church. And we need the Lord to raise up deacons, raise up those, a body of believers who can labor in these areas. And so I want you to pray with us, pray with David and myself and as a whole church, that we would think about this. Some assemblies, some churches don't have deacons. Some they have men and women who just do a lot of different kinds of service. They don't have a body of believers who are deacons. But I think it's important. I have gone around and I have spent time, probably in the last year, and I've asked other assemblies, and I've called them on the telephone, sometimes called elders, and I've said, do you have deacons in your local church? What do they do in the local assembly? How did you raise them up, and how did you... How did the process go? And half of them have said, we don't have deacons. And the other half have said, yes, we do have deacons. And here's some of the things they do. It says in Philippians chapter 1, Paul writes to the church at Philippi, and as he greets them, he says, to the elders and to the deacons. I think a local church should have deacons. It's an important role that they should play. So I would just ask you to pray with us as we think about this, and that we trust in the days ahead that we'll be able to recognize a body of men who can labor as deacons. Let's close in prayer. Our God and Father, we thank you for our time together. We thank you for this important subject. We don't take it lightly, Father. We pray that you'll lead us and that you'll guide us and you will raise up, show us all, raise up those men who have a heart to do this kind of work. And so we pray that in Jesus' name, amen.